Peter has a pretty good track record as a sailor. He's been in and out of boats his whole life. His fingers and toes are practically webbed. He's been out in some pretty wicked weather, but he's never gone overboard. And he's been out on nights when the fish are a bit shy, but he's never come home completely empty-handed. And he's seen some pretty bad storms, but he's always brought himself, his crew, and his boat home safe to shore. He's earned the trust and respect of all the people in his home fishing village. And there's not a fisherman there that wouldn't trust him with his boat or his life out on the lake. And Peter's feeling pretty grateful for all those years of experience right now, because this storm is as bad as he's ever seen before. And worse than that, he has a crew full of landlubbers. And they're green around the gills, and they're whinging and they're moaning and starting to get on his nerves. And it's probably quite a good thing that Jesus isn't in the boat right now, because he might be a bit disappointed at the language that's coming out of Peter's mouth to the rest of the 11 mates that he's got with him. And the storm has been battering them and their boat all night, and it's now 3 a.m. and they are exhausted. Crew and landlubbers alike have been working beyond their strength to respond to the gales and to bail out water and to do everything they can to keep the lake on the outside and themselves on the inside, because a capsize now would be deadly. Almost none of them can swim, even in calm weather. What a wretched night. They're just wasted and short-tempered. What a contrast to 12 hours ago on the beach, taking part in something you just have to call miraculous. And if they had the headspace right now in the middle of the storm, they might be feeling quite proud of what happened this afternoon. They were looking after the crowd control while Jesus had some time by himself to grieve over his cousin's death. So the 12 disciples were figuring out the logistics of how to deal with a flash mob of thousands of eager citizens all wanting a piece of the great teacher Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, and a snack wouldn't go amiss either. But there wasn't enough food for all of these people as they were sitting and waiting patiently for the master to be ready to address them. By the time Peter and his friends finally persuaded Jesus that this was actually a problem, a serious problem, that there was no food and thousands of people in the side of the beach, well, Jesus just said, well, why don't you do something about it? So they rolled their eyes and tried their best and pretty much stuffed up, actually. But 11 of them don't really remember that. They haven't had the headspace. They've been fighting a storm pretty much ever since then. And so they, if they had a bit of space now, they'd be feeling quite proud of this miracle that they were part of. Because there were 5,000 households out there, all fed till they were full to bursting out of one bag of groceries. 5 loaves of Vogels, couple of Snapper, and the disciples will never forget the feeling of handing around trays of food and seeing the trays get fuller and not emptier as they went around the crowd. Amazing. Miraculous. But a fat lot of good all of that food is doing them now, as they're in the middle of the storm and the waves are getting higher and the wind is getting stronger and the fear is taking over. And then they hear a scream and 12 men's hearts stop with fear. A ghost! And then all hell is about to break loose on this boat when they hear a familiar voice. Take heart. It's me. Don't be afraid. And, well, it looks and sounds like Jesus, but where is the boat? Jesus has never been much of a sailor, to be honest, and last they saw him, he was back on shore, boatless. And he seems to be sort of floating towards them upright. So as the wind is getting stronger and the waves are getting higher, the fear is not subsiding until Peter takes charge. The only clear head on the boat. And he says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." See, Peter hasn't been as scared as the others. He's seen storms before, and this is a bad one, but he's always tired, he's a bit stressed out, and he's sick of his companions. But he hasn't been terrified like the others. So he's the only one who's really been able to think about what happened on the beach. He's the only one who has realised how badly they stuffed up earlier that day. He's been thinking about the details of what happened in this miracle. And exactly what Jesus said to them. Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." But they didn't. They were too busy worrying about the sort of practical realities and logistics of dealing with all these people to hear Jesus' invitation, Jesus' command for what it was. And it's weird because Peter knows Jesus, right? I mean, he knows that he doesn't know everything. He knows there's a lot more to know about this mysterious man, but he knows Jesus. And yet, he and the other 11, they just got it wrong. And Jesus showed them up for it. Jesus said to them, "You feed the people." And what did they do? They explained to Jesus why it wasn't really possible. So Jesus, I suspect, rolled his eyes at this point. He collects up the bag of groceries and shows them that, duh, nothing is impossible with him. Peter stuffed up earlier today, and he's not going to stuff up twice in 24 hours. So if this is Jesus striding across the top of the lake, we'll let him issue a command and see what happens this time. Let him ask him to do something impossible and see how he responds. See that he has learnt something from back there. Peter's heart is sort of beating out of his chest wall as Jesus says, "Come." And his legs are shaking from the adrenaline, but he does the most significant thing of his life so far. He steps out of the boat. And nothing that follows will be as important as this first step of trust. And you can see it in Jesus' eyes. You can see him beaming, beckoning. So he leaves the boat behind and takes another step on top of the water. And another. And he's doing it. He's going to meet Jesus walking on the lake. And he's got no idea how this is happening. He sees the boat there, and his brain is trying to compute what's going on, and the wind is still getting stronger and the waves are getting higher, and suddenly his legs are getting wetter as he sinks through the lake. And all he can do is he's trying to keep his head above the waves, and he's sputtering, trying to get some breath, and all he can do is say, "Lord, save me." And of course he does. He feels Jesus' strong carpenter arms grab him by the scruff of the neck and toss him back into the boat. And he and Jesus are sprawled back here. And the waves are starting to flatten out and the wind is going down. And Jesus grins over at him and says, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" But all doubt is removed now. Because Peter is recognizing Jesus in a whole new way. And he leads the other disciples. All 12 of them kneel in front of Jesus. And they say, "You really are the Son of God. You really are the Son of God." But Peter knows, as he says this, and the wind dies down and the waves flatten out, that what he's saying is not nearly as significant as what he just did.
obeyed Jesus in the middle of all the fear, took a risk in spite of the impossible, trusted Jesus and acted on that trust. Stepped out of the boat. And the board and I have a sense that God is inviting us at West to do the same. We've been thinking and praying, and we think that 2011 is a year when God would like to invite us at West to step out of the boat, to learn to trust God in a new way, to put into practice what we, many of us, have learned over many years of knowing God and listening to sermons and reading books and reading the Bible. But there's no way of learning that's as good as trying and taking a small risk, a step towards Jesus. We have the sense that this is what God wants for us at West. And as we plan for how 2011 might pan out for our community, we would like to invite you to be part of discerning God's will. We think that 2011 might be the year when we're asked to step out of the boat, to learn to trust God in a new way. And we've got a couple of months yet before 2011 hits, and as we keep discerning God's will and keep making plans and seeing where God is leading us, we would value your input. There's a book that I've just discovered, beautifully coincidentally, after the phrase "step out of the boat" occurred to us at the board. It's a book by John Ortberg called "If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat." And I've photocopied 15 copies of the first chapter of this book. I think this may well be one of our books in the jar for 2011, a book that we read as a community and try and hear from God through. So I'd like to invite you to participate in the next few months, especially as we discern what this all might mean and how we might help each other to trust God more next year. Or you might just be curious. So there's no obligation, but I'm going to pass out these copies, and if 15 of you would be interested in just reading the first chapter, then do feel free to take one and borrow it and bring it back when you're done. I think there'll be plenty to go around for today. There's no obligation in taking one of these and reading it, but if you do feel like you get a sense of what God might want for West as you read it, then we would very much like to hear from you. We're going to spend a few minutes now with some quiet music playing and some questions on the screen, and a bit of space for all of us to listen to the Holy Spirit and think about the story that has been recorded 2,000 years ago of Peter's experience of stepping out of the boat. And I'll be passing these around as well. I invite you to listen yourself for God's leading and give some thought to where we might be being led in 2011. Thank you.